Anyone on the council? Questions for Tom? Anybody in the audience at this point have questions for him? Terry?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just for the committee members, I just want to note that Tom's revised the text for a couple of the motions from the August meeting because they refer to an earlier version of the framework, and the section numbers have changed since then. And that's going to refer to the first couple motions. So first motion is in draft framework 48, section 4.1.3, scallop fishery sub-ACL for Georges Bank Yellowtail. Move the sub-option that proposes an allocation based on catch history from 2002 to 2011 to considered and rejected, and round the value for option 3 to 8%, and that carried in the committee 402.
It's a committee motion. Doesn't need a second. I'm going to go to the audience for any comments. Ron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smolitz, Fishery Survival Fund. We're fully against this motion as currently written. It's a would have severe impact on the scallop fishery. Over the time period that 8% number was derived, our bycatch rates ranged from a low of somewhere around 1 up to 16%. And historically, we've been up in that 15% range. If you set it value at 8, half the years you'll be forcing the scallop fishery to trigger its AM. The more logical, when it came to the windowpane flounder, you put several options in. One, of course, is the mean or average or medium, whatever that number would be. The other was the 90th percentile, which would be something up on the order of 15%. I think it would be a much better motion if it gave a range of values of 8 to 16%, which is the actual values that we've seen in the last 10 years. This is a measure for analysis, and it should be analyzed in that way. So I would strongly suggest changing that from 8% and 3%. 8% is just half the time we would be failing. A range of 8 to 16% would be a good range to analyze. In the real world, the way I'd like to see it work, and I've been advocating the other option, the projected catch option, is to me is a non-starter because it's fatally flawed. Which leaves this as the only other option, and I think the number 8 is just way too low. So changing this to 8 to 16% for analysis would be a lot more honest and better way to approach it. And in the real world, I think what we would do is we would ratchet down we have no tools in the toolbox yet to reduce our bycatch. Everybody says, oh, this gives incentive. We'll have the tools in place as time goes on, which is access to the northern edge, which is seasonal restrictions by area when yellowtail are present. We're finding that they move in relatively schooled up concentrations. As we map that, we have gear work underway that significantly reduces bycatch of windowpane and yellowtail and other flats. But those tools are not ready today, not ready when this framework goes into place. So I believe that the scallop fishery is going to need 15% or projected catch. And as time goes on, we could ratchet down that baseline as we prove that we could achieve very low bycatch rates. So right now, I really ask somebody to modify this amendment to give a range of values of 8 to 16%. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. Chairman Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What was the committee's rationale for putting an upper limit of 8% on it?
Tom?
Well, I think if you go back and look, the original motion made by the committee was to base the allocation on the average of two different time periods that were examined. One was this 2002 to 2011. I forget what the other time period was. And this is what the average turns out to be.
Anyone else? Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I assume it wouldn't be particularly easy to make that change that Ron brings up. Just a question for Tom: what would be involved in doing that kind of analysis?
Well, I mean, I guess your specific question is how hard would it be to come up with what the 16% number is? Or what the implications are. I mean, I don't know that it would be all that difficult. The problem we have is 8% or 16% of what? And right now, we don't really know what the Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder ACL is going to be. The concern the PDTs have a little bit with any kind of fixed percentage is that, you know, whether you give the scallop fishery 8% or 15%, 15% of a small number still may not be enough for the scallop fishery.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, my concern here is that it's becoming increasingly evident that the opening of the area that is proposed as an access area is not going to happen in time for this year. And if there's anything we can do to mitigate the effects, I would like to explore that. But if it's not feasible, then I don't want to add to the burden. So I'm not sure which way to go yet.
Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, realized that the Groundfish Committee had been working on this for a while, but given the current allocations of yellowtail, I can't imagine us actually implementing this in any way. Was there a discussion at the Groundfish Committee about that? I mean, the current allocations, doesn't really matter if it's 3%, 8%, or 15%. It's not going to function for the scallop committee, given the numbers for yellowtail now. Was there any discussion of this isn't going to work at all?
Terry?
Good question, Mary Beth. But this discussion happened prior to the SSC meeting, so I anticipate significant discussion in another couple of weeks. We've got a lot of problems to think through.
Mark.
I have a question for Tom. Tom, is there any relationship between how much yellowtail the scallop fishery needs and whether or not Closed Area 2 has any access area trips allocated for that year?
Absolutely. Generally, we see that their catch of yellowtail flounder increases when they have access to Closed Area 2. It's not always the case that the bycatch rates are higher in Closed Area 2, but I think with the additional effort on Georges Bank from access to Closed Area 2, the yellowtail flounder total catch rates tend to go up when they have access into that area.
So, in other words, the percentage that they would require in any particular year might depend on whether that area is open for access trips or not.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the framework document, there's a table with the percentages by year that they caught. And I haven't marked it in the table, but I'm fairly certain that if you looked at it, all the higher numbers are years when they had access to Closed Area 2, and the low numbers are years when they didn't have access to Closed Area 2. So, to some extent, if you just take an average of that, it is a little, I don't want to say misleading, but it doesn't really capture the variability in what's going on out there.
John Bullard.
I know this is a groundfish committee report, but it's before the council, which is thinking about all of the fisheries. And I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but as I said yesterday, the groundfish industry is harvesting yellowtail at 10% of at a rate of 10% of its quota. I think as of September, it was at 30 tons. And so it's showing an ability to stay away from yellowtail. And I think the scallop industry is harvesting at a rate of 80%. And so if there's an ability to do a range, as Ron suggested, I think that might be worth considering.
Dave Gaethel.
Well, I think there's two issues here. One is the issue of using percentages. 8% of what has been raised? Well, it's 8% of about 150 tons. If you go back and look at actual poundage from 2002 to 2011, it was 8% of a lot bigger number. It may be higher than 150 tons in some years. I don't know. I have to go look. So that's one issue. The second issue is the issue of yellowtails in the groundfish fishery. And the groundfish fishery accesses Eastern Georgia's bank based on when it thinks it has a reasonable chance of catching haddock, because it has so little yellowtail and so little cod that if it hasn't got a chance of pretty much making a strike on haddock immediately, it's going to be out of yellowtail and cod, not able to access the area at all to catch haddock. And that's why you see these such low numbers for yellowtail so far. The haddock are there. The haddock school up in the winter and the spring and the late fall. Yeah, I think you're going to see that yellowtail number rise rapidly in the groundfish fleet as we go through the winter here, because they're going to go back to trying to catch haddock. Right now, those haddock are dispersed, and you can't go out there. And if you went out and fish for haddock right now on Georgia's Bank, you'd most likely catch too many yellowtails and too many cod, and you'd run out of both of them, and you wouldn't get the haddock. So I don't think we can say that the groundfish fleet isn't going to catch its yellowtail. I think it's definitely going to catch its yellowtail. And as I want to keep reminding everybody, what's the value of a fish to an individual fisherman? Well, it's like the credit card company. It's priceless. You know, if you're a Georgia's Bank groundfish boat and you don't have yellowtail or you don't have cod because you've run out of them in your sector, you can't access the haddock. That's priceless. Same with the scallop fleet. If you are a scalloper and the scallop has run out of yellowtails and you can't fish for scallops because of that, that's priceless. So, whatever you do here, probably everybody's going to run out of fish next year. I don't think there's any question about that. So, I don't care whether you modify this to 8 to 16, but 16% of what? It's still nothing. It's going to be a number that's too small for the scallop fishery to continue catching its scallops in closed area too. It's that simple, no matter what number you put up here. And the more you take away from the groundfish fishery, the more likely it is that they'll never access any haddock. I thought about this last night after we had the TMGC discussions, and I have a motion prepared for later on before we leave Framework 48. But there are ways out of this mess. Doing it like this is not the way out, in my opinion. So I'll let it go at that for right now.
David Pierce.
Yeah, I don't quite understand the nature of this discussion, since the motion is to take this option and put it into the rejected section. So why are we playing with 3%, 8%, or a higher percentage? What am I misunderstanding?
It's a two-part motion.
It's a two-part motion. Right, but we're going to put that strategy into the rejected section, and then we're going to take it once it's rejected and change the percent. Again, I don't understand. I assume that it was a viable option and that it would make sense to include it in the section, with another option being to, instead of having just the 8%, have it 16%, recognizing the concerns of David Gethel that are quite valid. So I guess I just need that first clarification. What are we doing with this particular language, which is option 3 on page 33 of the document? Are we rejecting it?
Tom.
If you look on page 33 of the document, there's an option 3 which bases the scallop fishery allocation of yellowtail on a percentage. When the committee reviewed this, I think at their August motion, there were actually two sub-options in that option. And the sub-options used a different time period, but they both used the average. And it turned out that when you looked at the two different time periods, the numbers were very similar. One came out, I think, to 7%, and the other came out to 7.5%. So what the committee motion does is basically get rid of one of the time periods and moves that to considered and rejected, keeps the other time period in there, and rounds up to 8%. So this, the framework document still has an option that's based on 8% over the time period of, I think, 2002 to 2011.
Okay, but it's not quite clear. Nevertheless, I'll go with it. I'd make a motion to amend, and that would be to add to the end of the sentence, include a sub-option for Georges Bank yellowtail allocation using the highest percentage of yellowtail discards from 2002 through 2011. That would be the tape. That would be the number in Table 6, which brings us to 16.1%. So that would be in the framework for analysis and consideration.
Karen, the third.
It's not a substitute.
Yeah.
It's not.
To amend.
Yeah. To include a sub-option for Georges Bank yellowtail allocation using the highest percentage of yellowtail discards from 2002 through 2011, then you can put in parentheses 16.1%.
There we go. We haven't got a second yet.
Second.
John Quinn, seconds. Gene.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand what Tom's explanation of the motion. I thought the motion was to exclude the 2002 to 2011, the original motion to consider to move the option that had an average of scallops from 2002 to 2011 to be considered but rejected, which would leave the 2007 to 2011 time period in, Mike. And if that was the intent of the original motion, this is in opposition to it, the amendment so sort of would put it back in. Did I misunderstand what the original motion is intended to do?
I think you are misunderstanding. The original motion took out the longer time period.
Right.
Left in the 2002 to 2011.
Oh, I thought.
And modified it to 8% because it comes out to 7.7%.
Okay, I'm just reading the table. There's only two time periods. One's 2002 to 2011. One's 2007 to 2011.
Oh, okay. It took out the shorter time period.
Right. And so. You're removing the 2002 to 2011 time period, which would leave in the 2007 to 2011. Motion would then put it back in.
Yeah, give me a second, Gene. Yeah, it should be 7. You're right. It should be 2007. No.
Would it be?
Yeah. No. The original motion was right. And Pierce's motion is right. We're moving the 2002 to 2011 to considered and rejected. Right?
So that leaves you only the 2007 to 2011 catch histories. And then Dr. Pierce's motion would use the percentage based on the longer time. I mean, the 16.1% is 2006. So you would be picking the percentage from the longer one, but using the shorter one as the average. Whereas, there's a disconnect there. I mean, amendments are only appropriate if they are consistent and are not the opposite of what's being proposed.
Wouldn't it be cleaner and easier to just go back to the original one and say the value for option 3 to 8 to 16.1% and forget all of these other time things?
In light of the confusion, absolutely, because that would accomplish what I'm trying to do. So we could go back to the original motion, strike out the language that I have offered up, and just make it 8 to 16%.
That would be your amendment.
If it doesn't create more confusion, that would be my amendment, yes.
Okay, Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate where we are with this conversation, but we're taking a range, and then we're cutting that range in half, and we're only evaluating the top end of that range. If we all look at the document at Table 6, the low end of that range is 0.9%. And I think Mark Alexander was getting close to a solution, which is I think we need two allocation scenarios. Allocation scenarios based on a percentage in which during which years closed area 2 was open, and a second based on an average when closed area 2 is closed. Because if we go forward with this, we have 8 to 16%. Closed area 2 is closed just by, by history, the percentage for the Scalloper should be considerably lower than 8 to 16%. So I think I understand why we're sort of elevating up in this range. I understand where we're going with this, and I don't oppose considering a broader range of alternatives, but I think the underlying issue is, we basically have two allocation schemes here. And the percentage is fundamentally different on the scallop side when closed area 2 is open and when it's closed. So I think we can deal with this. If people are supportive of that approach, I think it should be in the document. I'd be prepared to bring a motion after we deal with this to include an allocation scheme that would allow us to get closer so we don't get hemmed into an average or a part of this range that we don't really want to be.
I have Mary Beth and Frank Brown.
I agree with some of what Tom's thinking is there. However, I'm just wondering, when we get to final decisions here, if people's impressions are that, we're going to pick one of these scenarios and use it every time we, do specifications for Georges Bank Yellowtail. As Tom points out, some years, if the access area is open, the scallop fishery needs this. If it's closed, it needs this. And then, quite frankly, with the current allocations of Yellowtail, none of it works. So, are we just putting tools in the toolbox, or are we headed down a road where we're going to come back and have some, major discussion about which one we're going to implement in the framework, and we're going to use that one scenario moving forward? I hope that's not where we're headed, because I think that we need options. We need flexibility, and one or the other here. I mean, the way we've done it in the past, that's problematic for the ground fishery. Using 8%, 16% moving forward with our current numbers, that's problematic for scallops. Quite frankly, none of it really works in our current situation. So I'm just feeling a little uncertain about where we're going, and are we going to consider multiple options when we make final decisions?
Frank Brown.
Well, Tom's got his hand up, so I don't know if that was
Tom.
Well, I'm going to give a brief overview of how this discussion has evolved over the last 6 months at the Groundfish Committee. For some time at the Groundfish Committee, we've been hearing scallop industry representatives argue that they want a fixed percentage so that they know what they can count on. And so one of the Groundfish Committee members made the 8% motion, the original motion. And then the other alternative in the document that was passed by the committee, which we're not talking about today, is basically a form of formalizes the idea that we base it on what they're expected to catch. And the concept in the Groundfish Committee has been that, yes, we will pick one of these and we will use that going forward, because there's been a lot of angst over the last 6 or 8 months about, you know, the changes in the allocation and the scallop fishery getting 40% of the yellowtail flounder when the quota went down. So, yes, the plan that was coming out of the committee that was that one of these options in the document, unless the council were to pick no action, would be go forward and would be used as the way to set the allocations. Because there has been considerable, as I said, angst about the approach that has been followed since Amendment 16. Amendment 16 basically said we will evaluate where the scallop fishery is and where the groundfish fishery is when we do specifications and calculate an amount and allocate it. And people felt that that was not working. And they wanted some sort of fixed plan. So that's where the Groundfish Committee is at, or was at, anyway, when they passed these motions.
Frank Baum.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe the yellowtail number yesterday, we had three different numbers there, but the one in the middle was the 500 tons. And if you look at the chart and you go to 16%, you're looking at 80 tons. There's 2 years. The low year is 8 tons, and then 2002 was 29. Every year other than that, they'd landed considerably more than that. I mean, the high was, you know, 293 tons, so 16%. 80 tons, they're still taking a tremendous cut on what they're going to need. We could do it all we want. I think Dave said better. I mean, unless we come up with a different way to do it, 16% isn't going to be enough for the scallopers. It's not even close. So, I mean, we can play with the percentages, we can play with the years, but, I mean, it's 80 tons of 500 at 16%. Like, their average catch, I'm doing it at the top of my head, if you took out the high and the low, is probably 150, 160 tons. And the year at 250, I mean, you look, they need double that. So percentage-wise, they need 50% of the allocation just to even be somewhat whole. Thank you.
Terry Alexander.
Frank pretty much said what I was going to say. You know, I was looking at 2002 here, and their discards were 29 tons. Well, that's 15% of the U.S. share of the yellowtails out there. So, I mean, and I don't know, if was the closed area 2 open in 2002? Does anybody know? But under the scallop discussion we had yesterday, aren't the next 3 years, isn't closed area 2 open all 3 years? So they're going to need a bigger whack. So.
Frank Brown.
Yeah, Paul just informed me, and he's correct. The 500 tons is the total catch.
Right.
Yeah, so that's even worse. Yeah. Pretty close.
Further discussion? Dave Gaethel.
Well, just being kind of Mr. Language person here, option 3, 8 to 16%, are we, how, what kind of analysis are you looking for? You're looking for 8, 9, 10, 11, 12? I mean, what, or is it just 8 and 16?
I will ask the amender.
8 and 16.
Thank you.
Rich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rich Canastra.
Again, just a carryover from yesterday, we're talking about crumbs. And it's the underestimation of the stock, the yellowtail stock, is the problem here. Being involved with the ground fishermen and also scallop is, there is no problem with 15%, 16% of allocating that to the scallopers if it's a fixed allocation. I think the other option was give them what they need. And as Frank Blount mentioned, that there's just not enough there. No matter what you do, you're not going to fix it. As far as another council member mentioned, as far as some years the closed area 2 is open, some years it's closed. In 2002, closed area 2 was closed. But there is a mechanism of giving it back to the draggers. That mechanism is in there today, as we did this year. So if there's, I think it's mid-year or three-quarters of the year, if there's excessive yellowtail, they can give it. There's a mechanism of giving back to the draggers. But again, it absolutely upsets me, and I'm sitting back there in frustration that we're talking about absolutely nothing, because it's true that draggers will be closed next year. Scallopers will be closed. Three consecutive years of closed area 2 where the yellowtail are. We need to look at the yellowtail stock and do something there. Thanks.
Drew?
Drew Minkiewicz, Fishery Survival Fund. I appreciate all the effort you all are putting into this. It's not an easy situation. And because, I mean, let's talk about it. You know, if the allocation is to stay at 500 metric tons, the U.S. share is 215 metric tons, 8% is 17 metric tons. I don't think that's enough. If it goes up to 16, you know, you jump all the way up to, what, 34, 35 metric tons? Once again, it's, you know, these are pitiful numbers. And the real issue here is the top number. I think we made good progress yesterday in at least looking at the 1150 number and looking at a bycatch-only approach. I think it's telling that a fishery that is not trying to target these species is able to catch the FREF number. And, you know, and we're not talking about an F rebuild number or something that is, you know, a very low F of, you know, 0.1 or something with trying to rebuild something within 10 years. This is an FREF number that we're setting these numbers to, that this model, after being adjusted over and over again, is putting out. There's a real problem with the assessment, and that has to be addressed. This isn't the motion to do it. I understand that, but we need to look at that. And also, we are not maximizing all our opportunities. We were sitting here talking about 8% or 16%, but the fact is we need to manage Georgia's Bank for the scallop and the groundfish fisheries properly. And the way management is set up right now, we can't use all of the bank the way we need to put fishing effort where it can be best utilized to maximize scallop yield and minimize yellowtail catch. And as long as we are doing that, we're doing this with two hands tied behind our back. So when we move on later today, let's remember this discussion and remember we can really help our situation by utilizing the entirety of the bank in a proper way to maximize our scallop catch and minimize our yellowtail. That's what we need to do. We need to fix the assessment on yellowtail, and then all of this other stuff will start making sense again. And as far as discussion about, you know, should we have an allocation for this year or, you know, with closed area 2 open and not, I mean, you already have that approach really with the projected need. I mean, that's already encompassed in that, if that's what you want to do. And also, I do remember that we've done a lot of effort to make yellowtail as fungible as possible between the groundfish fishery and the scallop fisheries we possibly can. If the scallopers need more and the groundfish fishery hasn't caught everything, we have a way to essentially slide it more into the scalloper's ledger. And we also have a way to slide more into the groundfish fishery's ledger, too, if we don't use all of it in the scallop fishery. So it's very fungible right now. And that's good because, you know, this is, there's not a lot available to the, either fishery, so we have to maximize every single one. So, yeah, ask to remember that. But it's, I understand what you all are trying to do here, but, you know, 8-16%, it's not enough either way. And that the problem is that top number, and that gets down to, we really need to take a hard look at the assessment. We need more tows out there. We really should be rigging up two industry vessels with survey gear, getting more bang for our buck, getting more information. The status quo, and we're just, you know, we're never going to get out of this unless we take some good steps forward, put forward a good research program, and get some good data out there. Thank you.
Rito.
Peter Gigoloni, Northeast Seafood Coalition. We just want to say we strongly support this motion. I think from a policy perspective, setting the science aside for now, it's something that really needs to happen so we get out of this not knowing from one year to the next what the need might be and what those projections are. I think we need to have the two industries know where they stand before the year starts. And we support the full range from 8 to 16%. We don't see a problem with any of that. And so once we get that put aside, then everyone gets to see that we don't have enough yellowtail. And what we're talking about here is the scallop fishery is a bycatch fishery now. So if we're worried about the scallop fishery catching too much yellowtail, tells us something. It definitely told the SSC something. I attended the SSC meeting, and the reason they were looking at the 1150 was because to protect for the uncertainty that it seems like there could be a very high likelihood that this assessment's wrong. And if you have no incentive to land it and you accidentally catch yellowtail to the level of 1150, then clearly the assessment's wrong. So yellowtail is extremely important financially to the United States. It is not to Canada. It's our responsibility to make that assessment be the best it can be. It's not theirs. So SSC is unilateral science. We do understand the need to go to bilateral science in the track. But I think U.S. has to ramp up on this side. There's no way 44% of the distribution of that stock is accurate. That's a big problem right there, and there's no way that 500 ton is accurate. But I think those are separate issues completely from this motion. This is a policy issue, and we fully support it.
Anyone else in the audience? Okay, back to the council. Gene.
Yeah, I hate to be a nudge about this, but this motion is a square peg in a round hole, because the first part of the motion is to eliminate the 2002 to 2011 time period as the basis for determining recent catch history. And it doesn't say whether it's an average or not, but it's almost an average. And then the second part that's being amended here would consider the range based on that case history, that new history, 2007 to 2011, to be from 8 to 16%, the highest level in the new time frame that would be left is 10.3%. So by definition, this amendment can't work under the logic of the option itself. The option is to base it on recent catch history. If you eliminate 2002, you're at 2007 to 2011. There is no catch history that equals 16%. That history is at 2006, so it's before the level that would be left. So unless you rewrite the option just to be recent catch history since 2002, it just doesn't logically fit in.
Tom, can you unwrap us from the axle?
Well, I think the way out of this box is something along the lines of what Gene said. You write the motion to say that modify, I'm talking fast, this will need to be edited, but you say change the motion to say modify option 3 to cover a range from 8 to 16%. And then you can do one of two things. You can pull out any reference to where the 18 to 16% came from, or if you want to write in the motion, you can write in, you know, the 8% is the average from 2007 to 2011, and the 16% is the maximum seen since 2002. And then, you know, I don't know if you need to have that in the motion, but that would be the idea, just to try and make things sort of hang together.
But isn't the way it is written, Tom, isn't that really what it says? It says get rid of that 2002 to 2011 period, and then it just says and round the value for option three to 8 to 16%.
Well, rather than say round, why don't you just say modify the values for option three, and then you're sort of divorcing it from the average bit. I don't know if that gets to Gene's point or not, and I don't know if that then should be a motion to substitute rather than a motion to amend and all that stuff. But about,
I mean, Tom's suggestion fixes my point. I mean, that if you read what the option is now, it says the percentage is the amount allocated to scallopers would be based on recent catch history as shown in Table 6. The percentage would be 8% based on the scallop fishery catches of this stock as a percentage of total U.S. catches for the, originally it said, the 10-year calendar period from 2000. There's a misprint. I mean, there's a typo here, I think. It says 10-year period from 2007 to 2011. And it should have said 2002 to 2011. So it's written with a misprint in the way it's presented, and maybe that's what's causing the confusion. But so the way it's written, it's based on an average, basically, from the time period that you select. If you eliminate the longer time period, you eliminate any possibility of getting to 16%. So you just need to, I think, if you want 16% to be the upper end of the range, you need to just say, take out the time periods involved and just say, or just say, we'll keep the 2002 to 2011 time period and we'll consider a range from 8 to 16%.
And your feeling is that if you left it the way it is instead of get rid of and round the value and modify the value for option 3 to 8 to 16%.
Well, I'm saying that the way it's written, there is no 16% option. It's a false.
But we're modifying. We're changing it.
But you can't get to anything above 10%. Because you're the basis of the year. I don't know why I'm the only one seeing this, but the basis that you're using is based on an average catch history from the time period you select. If you eliminate the longer time period, you no longer have a 16% option that you're going to be rounding to. It's impossible to get there by virtue of the logic of the option.
But I'm saying get rid of the word round and modify the value. But modify the value doesn't say round. It says modify.
Well, are you still basing it on the time period, though?
No, you're putting the actual values in there. Yeah, and you could eliminate, that's correct, from 2002 to 2011, just take out 2011 based on catch history from 2002.
Well, you're removing that time period by this motion. That time period is being rejected. And I'm saying, I don't think if you want to do what you want to do, you don't have the first part of this amendment. You take that out. You just say the options can be rounded from 8 to 16%, and don't take out the time period that the first part of the motion does. Don't consider it rejected.
We need to get the motion correct, and then.
So I think it would be a substitute motion that just says modify option three to base the percentage on a range from 8 to 16%. Doesn't that do it, Tom? So you're taking out the whole thing about considered but rejected, and you're just increasing the range that's included in option three.
Okay, so I'm going to ask the maker and seconder if that is what you want to do.
I knew Gene would catch that, and he did, and he has offered up a solution, and I thank him for that. This is an appropriate motion to amend or substitute, Gene. Substitute, right. So motion to substitute.
And that's by Dr. Pierce and Mr. Quinn.
His motion to amend to a motion to substitute with just this language. So without objection, if people agree to that to avoid any further delay, you can do it.
Okay. All right. So without objection of anybody on the council, we're doing those modifications. Seeing none, we're all set with that. Okay. Now, further discussion on this? Mark Alexander.
I just have a question maybe for Dr. Pierce. Implicit in this range is the idea that the low and high ends sort of represent the need for the scallop industry during times when the open areas, I mean, when the closed area is either open for scallop fishing or closed for scallop fishing?
Well, I think reading more into it, it's just, it doesn't pertain, just the percentages, that's
okay.
All. But I think later on we're going to get into a discussion about actual need, which, of course, this does not meet. But
my only comment was that the 8% actually includes years when closed area 2 might have been open, so maybe the lower end of that range should actually be a little lower. I don't know. That's just my thought.
Further council discussion? Call the question. All those in favor of the motion to substitute. Fifteen in favor, opposed, abstention, 15-0-0. The motion carries. Now we're on the main motion as substituted. Further discussion. Call the question. All those in favor? Sixteen in favor, opposed. Abstention, 16-0-0.